السلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My dear sweet brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this blessed day of Jum'ah, the blessed masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts this Jum'ah from us, He accepts the Jum'ah of all the Muslims all over the world, He makes this a means of success in this life and hereafter. And he grants us the Shafa'a Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judgment. And he puts all Jannah for those of Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives the tawfiq for us, for allowing us to enter into this new year. It's the Islamic year, mashallah, 1441. There was a khutbah that I really wanted to give in the beginning, but, you know, because of the certain, like, something came up, family and everything, I was unable to give that khutbah right in the beginning. And certain circumstances which came up, which was a very important khutbah that I wanted to start off this year with, which was to join the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll give a little bit of it today, but something else that I really want to stress inshallah ta'ala, because of what's happening in our time today inshallah ta'ala. So what do we want to discuss inshallah today? Is that we find that there's different groups of people, and when you ask all these different groups of people, what's a complaint you have about life, right? Certain complaint. Some people complain maybe about their spouses, certain people complain about children, certain people complain about their work. But you find this common complaint that we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. Everyone is saying that 24 hours is not enough, we wish we could have 25. If I can just have one more hour of sleep, one more hour of work, one more hour with my kids. You know, everyone's just saying there's not enough time. And that's the reality of life, is that time is not unlimited. You don't have unlimited time in this dunya. You only have a certain amount of time to get whatever goals you have in mind finished, whatever goal you have to get done. And this is what we have to remind ourselves in this world, inshallah ta'ala, is that in this life we only have a certain fixed amount of time that we can get done whatever we want to get done. Now you have an idea then, what is a goal that I want to get accomplished in this life? And so you'll find many people out there, and unfortunately this is a state of youth, that the only thing they will remember for is their football games, is for the fantasy football, their Netflix, and that's all that we remember for. And there was a very interesting book that I read the other day, which is it was written by one Hindu. The title of the book was "Who Will Cry When You Die?" Who will cry when you die? What impression? What did you change in life before you left this world? Who will be impressed with your life? And this is what we find today, unfortunately speaking, because we're so engrossed in everything else that we're not able to, first and foremost, many people don't even have a goal. People don't have a goal. And sometimes we have a goal, but it's not the right goal. Certain people, they have a goal, but it's not the right goal. So we find that we first and foremost need to fix our lives. To tell ourselves that, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my time? I went from 1 year to the next year. I was a junior, now I'm a senior. After becoming a senior, I went to college. I just graduated college. I just started my work. I just got married. I just had a kid. I have all these things, but what am I doing with my life? This is not a question where you can just say, I don't want to answer it. This is a question you and I in the Day of Judgment will be asked about. What did you do with your life? May Allah give us the tawfiq and hidayah to understand this point, and give us the tawfiq to give us a good goal. Now, it's not wrong to have a goal in dunya. You want to make money. You want to buy the Mercedes that you wanted, the dream Mercedes. You want to buy the Tesla, whatever you wanted. You know, you wanted it. You want to have this goal of having something in dunya, which is not wrong. In essence, it's not wrong. Unless there's a bad maqsad behind it, but in essence, nothing wrong with that. But I would like to remind everyone here, what do we read every single Friday in Surah Al-Kahf? Al-Mal wal-Banoon zinatul hayati dunya, wal-baqiyatul salihat khayrun inda rabbika thawaba wa khayrun amala. Subhanallah. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the money and the children are the beauties of this world. That when you have kids and you see them running around, it makes you so happy. When you have money in your bank account, you look at the money, you look at how much thousands are there, and you just become happy. It's part of the zina of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging it because He knows He created us. Who knows the iPhone better? You or Steve Jobs? The one who created the iPhone knows it better. And so similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I know my insan. I know what makes them happy. They like to see money. They like to see children. Zinatul hayatid dunya. And everyone here can acknowledge it. Everyone here can acknowledge it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but I'd like to give you a better proposition. Allah is speaking to us as an investor. وَالْبَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Give yourself something which lasts and remains. A good investment that lasts and remains. That's pious, salihat. خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. It's better by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صَوَابًا. A better return on the investment. You and I are engaged in many investments, especially us youngsters. We want to invest in this and this and this. Look at our stock portfolio. We invest in this company because we expect a certain amount back. We're hoping for this. But the reality is when you invest in a lot of things, something might not come back. You might want to start a startup business or a project or a company. And then you find what? That in a year or 2 years it shuts down. About 80% of all startups in America just shut down within the first 5 years. We invest all this money in all these things and we're expecting something to grow. Sometimes nothing grows at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll give you a good investment. 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000% return on it. Is that you give Allah a good deed. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَكَ الثَّوَابَ. Thawab means something that returns to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I promise you, you'll get a return on this. وَخَيْرٌ amala. And then when you go to maut, when you hit your qabr, when you wake up on qiyamah, when you're about to enter Jannah, you'll see that amal that you did is with you. It will not leave you like your money left you. It will not leave you like your children left you. It will not leave you like your wives left you. That when you hit the grave and the kalima la ilaha illallah was the last word you said from your mouth, no one else came with you in the qabr, but your good deeds came with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that I want to give you a good goal in life. I want everyone to have this goal in life. Is that we make a strong intention, inshallah ta'ala, to make our lives, the goal is what? I want to find that one good deed that I'm good at. That one good deed I'm good at. Not saying that I'm going to start praying. 5 times a day is not an option here. Everyone should, you know, our Shaykh used to tell us all the time. He says, everyone's like, wow, you pray 5 times? You pray 5 times? Wow, that's so amazing. And our Shaykh used to say that, but that's just normal. He said, there was once a time in the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that becoming a Hafiz was normal. He said that if you were the only Hafiz in the Taraweeh, if you're the only non-Hafiz, that was weird. Imagine entire masjid, we only have like 3 or 4 Hafiz, right? Imagine entire masjid full of Hafiz and making a mistake. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And our Shaykh used to tell us, he said that, and it was very weird in the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at one time. At one time it was weird that you would be the only one not crying in dua. Because everyone would be crying. So we have to evaluate ourselves. What, may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. So we have to look at ourselves, inshallah, make that one good deed. Maybe I want to feed people. Maybe I want to become a person who goes to visit prisons. Maybe I want to be a person who teaches children. That's my goal in life. I want to teach children in the most excellent way. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Why do we bring up this ayah? This ayah says that وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who can have a better speech? Who can have a better discussion? Who can have a better talk? Whose words are better than the one who calls to Allah? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he does good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Or, and he or she says that I am from the believers. What does this ayah mean? Originally the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whenever they gave tafsir this ayah, if Aisha radiallahu anhu said, هو المؤذن. It's the muaddin. It is the muaddin who calls to people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, أَمَا سَمِعْتَ أَنَّهُ يَقُولُ. Don't you hear that he says, حَيَا لَلصَّلَاةِ حَيَا لَلْفَلَاحِ. He says, come to prayer, come to success. This is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to say things like this. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُؤَذِّنًا مَا بَالَيْتُ أَنْ لَا حُجَّ وَلَا أَعْتَمِرَ وَلَا أُجَاهِدُ. SubhanAllah. He said, if I were to become a muazzin, I wouldn't even care if I didn't go for Hajj. I wouldn't even care if I didn't do Umrah. I wouldn't even care if I didn't go for fighting in the path of Allah. He said that I became muazzin, so I have a good job by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I look down on this job. And Nabi alayhi sallam once told the Sahaba, he's like, Allah maghfir al muazzineen. May Allah forgive the muazzins. May Allah forgive the muazzins. May Allah forgive the muazzins. And then the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we're the ones fighting in the path of Allah. We're making sure that the muazzin can give the adhan. And Nabi alayhi sallam said, no, no, no. This dua is for the muazzin. Because on the day, he said, the time will come that people will not respect the job of the Muazzin. And they will, and but Allah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, but on the day of judgment, when people are being thrown in the fire, Jahannam, if they try to throw the body of the Muazzin into the fire, the body doesn't burn. It comes out unscathed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Lu'um of the Muazzin is muharram on the fire, Jahannam. SubhanAllah. That's why it's important. That's why you find in our countries that not everyone just gives adhan. Unfortunately, again, it's the Western type of masajid that we have, that we don't institute this job in the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq, it's all development, right? We're all growing, inshallah ta'ala. Eventually, it'll happen again as well, inshallah. But that's what you find in our countries back home, that muazzin is still a job that you have, that you take care of the masjid, you open it, and you give adhan 5 times a day. And may Allah give those brothers the reward of the muazzin and the judgment, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that this is the best calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that it's not just the muadzin. He says not just the muadzin. He says anyone who's made their life, their goal that I'm going to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it might be, whatever it might be, whether you made your goal, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلَ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, by لِإِطْعَامِ الْمَسَاكِينَ, that you want to feed the poor, and that you made that your goal of your life, you made that your prime investment by Allah, then inshallah ta'ala you'll be under this ayah. Inshallah ta'ala you'll be under this ayah. Maybe your life goal was what? That I want to work in economics and make halal businesses and industries and make halal investments for Muslimin. Now inshallah ta'ala you'll be under this ayah as well. Maybe you want to be that teacher that just want to teach students my entire life. I just want to make sure that these students grow up to be pious Muslimin. Maybe that's all you can do. MashaAllah, you're also under the ayah. And maybe you're a person who doesn't have that much skill to speak to non-Muslims. Maybe you're a person that can't even speak to Muslims even. But you have your own children and you're saying, you know what? I couldn't become Hafiz. I want them to become Hafiz. My daughter will make a Hafizah. And now you'll be under the ayah as well, inshallah. Because your goal is what? Your goal is da'a ila Allah. You're calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and you're doing good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, for sure I'm a Muslim. They don't have any doubt in it. They made their life goal that one day I'm going to die. And one day I need this investment, so I'm making my life goal. How can I build this investment? May Allah make us from such people, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the point that I want to get across to everyone, and this is again a bigger topic that inshallah I'll cover in more khutab, in more different khutbas that we have. The main part is the next ayah that I want to give. So now you enrolled in, you were hired by the company of Allah. This big business company. It's a big company that Allah ta'ala has. It has HR, you know, human resources. It has research and development. It has, you know, it has all these different fields, right? It has people on computers, it has people working in economics, it has people working in teaching and learning. It's this huge company that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And now, mashallah, you become an employee there. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And then what happens is what? You start to work there. You start to type away. You start to do whatever work you're supposed to be doing for Allah. And so you find that sometimes you're working, and it's the same thing in life. Sometimes you work, and it's so easy to work. You find that like I'm feeding people and people are thanking me and it makes me feel good. Right? You feel good when you're feeding people. And then sometimes you find there's no one to feed. And so then you feel kind of weak then. Sometimes you find that people are cursing you. That you fed them and then they're saying that, why did you feed me this? I didn't want this food. I didn't want this. And you find that people get offended. Like for example at home, you're raising your child. And sometimes it's progress is like, you know, off the charts. This kid is learning so much. Sometimes you find this kid is not developing at all. Sometimes it's even backwards. You're like, man, he's regressing now. He's going backwards now. And then you have to remind yourself that I'm working in the company of Allah. And then what happens is some of us, they leave the company. They're like, you know what, I'm tired of working for Allah. I quit. And so they leave the job. Then Allah comes behind them and says, gives them the musibah and says, come back. That's what happens sometimes. People say that, why did I go through this and this and this? Because maybe you were donating to the masjid very regularly, or the madrasa very regularly, or you were working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you said, I don't want to do it anymore. Allah said, you don't have a choice here, I want the best for you. So Allah brings you back into His company. It might happen. It might happen. This is what happens to people. And so now what is the, then in your job with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find that there is a performance examination. Allah will check your performance. So what does Allah Ta'ala do? He sends you someone that is completely against your job. He sends you against someone who is completely against your job. He sends you someone who hates everything you've been doing. He sends you someone who, that you, when you talk to them, they just make you more and more angry. And they make you want to quit. So at this moment is your performance exam. At this moment is your performance exam. Allah has enrolled you as an employee, and now Allah is checking you as an employee, if you're really a good employee or not. And so what happens is we work for masjid for years and years and years, and everything's been running smooth. Everything's been running smooth. And then one time, something really bad happens to the Masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now it's time to us to become angry and upset. And now it's the time to show our anger and our guns. And we're going to beat up this person and hurt this person and cause fasad here. This feeling comes in the heart that I just want to show how upset I am. And now it comes to test. The test comes. Was I doing it for Allah or was I doing it for myself? This is the question that comes up. What happens? Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. That good and evil will never be equal. Good and bad will never be equal. That you find someone who will be upsetting you. And how did this happen in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he calling people to Allah, and he find people putting their fingers in their ears. That he find that they would cover their heads with their hoods. That they would walk away from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they would say that we don't want to listen to this. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّا مِمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقُلٌ وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابٌ. Right? They used to say all these things to him. We don't even want to listen to you. It's like you're talking on a different language. We got a barrier between us and you. We don't want to talk to you. And they say all these offensive things to the Prophet. They go even further. They throw dust at him. They spit at him. They hurt him. They hurt his companions. They do all of these things. And you can imagine the anger of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Man, if we can just take out Abu Jahl right now. They have a sword. They have everything that they want. They can show their anger and frustration against this person. But Allah reveals the ayah and says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. That someone did bad to you, it's never good to do bad to them. Allah says, they're never equal. They're never equal. The way of Bani Israel was, أَتَسْتَبْدِنُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. That if someone did good to them, they'll do bad to them. If someone did bad to them, they'll do even worse to them. And we as Muslims today, unfortunately, every single response we give, whenever we react, is always the worst type of response. That in the media, we're always shown as violent people, and angry people, and frustrated people. And that's not the way that Allah told us to respond. Allah said, if you see bad, you respond with good. وَإِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do the better thing. Do the greater thing. Do the more righteous thing. Zayd ibn Sa'sa'a radiallahu anhu, ibn Sa'sa'a, who was a rabbi, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to test him. And so when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tested him, he pulled his chadar and left a mark on his neck. And the Sahaba were ready to finish this man. You have no idea how angry they were. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just smiled at him. And then he told the Sahaba, he said, sit down, it's fine. And then the man started to curse at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say all these things to him. And say that because he loaned something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a couple of days ago. And he demanded his payment back before the time came. Imagine like you got a loan from one of the brothers or one of the sisters. It was like on December and they start asking about it in September. And you're like, I still have time, you know? And they're getting so upset and angry. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he started to curse at the man back. They started to argue. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, why did you say such a word? He said, now go find, you know, I have so-and-so money by so-and-so person. Go get that money, pay back his debt, and give him a little bit more because you yelled at him. You give him a little bit more because you yelled at him. Zayd ibn Sa'sa radiallahu anhu says that I didn't come, Ya Rasulullah, to do business with you. I came to accept Islam. I just want to check if you're a real prophet. Because a real prophet would be someone that if someone tries to make them angry, he becomes more patient. He said that about him. We find that the best response at many times, the best response is what? That you just, if someone does bad to you, you do good to them. Because فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That Allah Ta'ala says that if you find that there's animosity or some hatred between you and them, Allah Ta'ala says will make them your best friend. وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Someone who cares for you. Someone who gets upset when people upset you. Allah Ta'ala says, I promise you, if you do good to people who do bad to you, I will make them the best people in the world for you in this world. Allah says this, and he's saying this by Yahud, Nasara, you do good to people who do wrong to you, you find them to be your best friend. From my own experience, I found this. From other experience, from the books, I found this. Ibn Mas'ud, he goes into an area, he finds this man named Zadan. Zadan is a musician. He's singing, he's playing every musical instrument that he knows. He is doing all the haram things in front of Ibn Mas'ud. He's the companion of the Prophet ﷺ. He's hearing Zadan do this in front of everyone. And he's sitting there, and he's listening to his voice. And he's talking to one man next to him. Ibn Mas'ud is in the gathering. And he's like, you know, what's the approach that you and I have? Brother haram, earrings is haram, tattoo haram, everything haram, get out of masjid. That's how we are. Ibn Mas'ud says to the person next to him, he says, what a beautiful voice he has. He says that if only he used it for Quran. And he just says that to the guy next to him, and then he puts on his hood and goes. And everyone knows Ibn Mas'ud in the gathering. Zazan probably saw it and freaked out. He's like, Mawlana Sahib came into the room, and he saw the halama was doing, And so Zazan goes down and says, wait, what did Ibn Mas'ud say to you? To the guy. And like, Ibn Mas'ud said that, you have such a beautiful voice. He was expecting him to critique him and say, this is haram, that's haram. But he came back with beautiful words when people were trying to meet him with evil. And so then Zazan, you find him in every single book of hadith. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, every single one. He's a narrator of hadith. He came to become a student of Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. People have bad pasts, they do. But they become good people afterwards. And just let it go, you know? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. He's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 20 years. 20 years. He was not a Muslim. Not a Muslim. He didn't like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all. In Makkah, he was against him. In Badr, when Abu Jahl died, he took the command of the Quraysh and he said, I'm going to fight them in Uhud. And you all know what happened in Uhud. Nabi SAW and them were defeated because of him, Abu Sufyan. Years go by, every single time you find Abu Sufyan did this against the Muslims, against the Muslims, against the Muslims, every single time. This man is always against the Muslims. Then the time of the conquest of Makkah comes. The most beautiful conquest in all of history. You will not find the type of conquest of any city like this, where you come in and there's no bloodshed. Virtually any bloodshed at all, they just go in, and then what does the Prophet ﷺ say? He says, you all have to leave now. All the Quraysh, the Mushrikeen have to leave. This land is going to become for the Muslims only. And he says, but I give you 4 months to go. You have 4 months to go. No one, don't just get out or I'm going to kill you. No. You have 4 months, pack your bags, figure out some place to go, relocate, and get going. And he says, but I'll give you some safety and protection. Whoever enters the house of so-and-so will be protected. He says, so-and-so. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, for example. He says, whoever enters the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for example, becomes protected. He starts to mention people's houses, says that if you stay in the house, you can stay for a bit longer. He said, 4 months, but you can stay longer if you just get into this house. So he starts to mention houses after houses. And Abu Sufyan is there. And he says, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is also protected. This is not even his friend. It's not even a Muslim. He's been fighting with him for 20 years. But when push comes to shove, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed that if someone does bad to you for years on end, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I still love you for the sake of Allah. Go, your house is also safe and protection. Abu Sufyan stands up and says, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is how we do things, inshallah. When we find people do things bad to the masjid of Allah, bad things to ourselves, try your best, inshallah, to hold your anger. See why you're doing it again. What's my niyyah behind these things? Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for Allah? And then check yourself, what is the Islamic approach? That's the approach that I have. But the approach that Islam shows us is mercy and kindness and compassion. That perhaps if I were to be good to someone, they'll also return the favor, inshallah, one day, and maybe they'll become Muslim as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in every single circumstance that we find, that we always respond with the best. We become people of ihsan. We make dua to Allah azza wa jalla that He restores this quality of the Muslims. That we don't just get angry for the sake of anger. We get angry for the sake of Allah if we need to. And that we show compassion for the sake of Allah when we need to, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshaAllah.